satisfactory, and there is no sufficient reason for raising the question of substitution. Now, cherubim and seraphim. The CNS is part of the sporadic visitation of the Holy Spirit to many parts of the world during the late 19th and the early 20th centuries. Certain prophets were called, and of those who persevered, their ministries grew in different proportions to what we can see today in Pentecostal and other charismatic movements around the world. There was the Welsh Revival in this country, which was prevented from thriving as if it fell on the ground full of thorns and that choked the revival into extinction. There was the Zionist Revival in South Africa, which has thrived to become the largest Christian denomination in that country today. And similarly, the ministry of Simon Kimbangu in Congo has become the national church in that country today. These ministries apparently fell on fertile grounds in the areas in which they operate. The Azusa watershed in America has also thrived, evidently due to the enormous publicity it was accorded in a big country with strong economy and wealth. The ministry of Moses Orimolade leading to the founding of the Cherubim and Seraphim, among other Aladora churches in West Africa, has also developed in proportion to the opportunities open to it, despite operating in a multi-religious society in Nigeria, where the Muslim mission actually preceded that of the Christian. Recent religious violence in that country, especially in the northern part, is due largely to the continued evangelical Christian incursion into the Muslim heartlands. The Cherubim and Seraphim started simply as a group of believers in the powers and efficacy of prayers. At the beginning, there was no name given to the group. Later, when the number grew and registration became imminent, the group resorted to prayer and fasting in search of a suitable name. After a few days of praying and fasting, a visioner in the group saw the letter SE in the sky, with the rest of the world being obscured by a cloud. Later, another set appeared as RA in the same manner. Upon investigation, a clergyman from the United Native African Church helped to interpret the combination as Seraphu, that is Seraph. Upon hearing the interpretation, then the founder, Prophet Orimolade, rose and stood in the middle of the assembly room, turned to the four corners of the room, and pronounced, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, this society will be called Seraphu," that is Seraph. The whole assembly then rose and shouted, "Hallelujah," signifying unanimous acceptance and approval with joy. Thus, the group became known first as Egbe Seraphu, that is the Nigerian name, meaning Seraphim Society. Through vision and directive at a later time, Archangel Michael was named as captain of the band and patron saint of the society. So, till today, the Cherubim and the Seraphim Church observe only one saint day in the year, which is September 29, when throughout the Cherubim and Seraphim, they conduct liturgy that is associated with Archangel Michael. After some time of naming the group as Seraphim Society, a woman narrated her dream to prolong this name. In her dream, she saw a large company of young children dressed in beautiful white garments, and she was instructed that the name Kelubu, that is cherubim, should be added to Seraphu, because Kerubu at the Seraphu, that is cherubim and seraphim, are like twin angels in heaven who should not be separated. Thereupon, the society was renamed Cherubim and Seraphim Society. Thus, it became widely recognized that the Cherubim and Seraphim is the only church whose name came through vision and can be identified functionally in the Bible, especially with the affinity of Cherubim and Seraphim with the throne of Almighty God. Moreover, the group became the first Christian body whose members are all robed in white garments in Nigeria. It is recognized that in South Africa, the Zionists are similarly robed in white garments. So also is the Church of Nineveh in Kenya, wearing the wearing of white garments can theologically be viewed as apocalyptic, because the Lord's Prayer says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So if the cherubim and seraphim are robed in white in heaven, so on earth they can also be robed in white. This quote from the Lord's Prayer is comely, especially for the cherubim and seraphim, in whom, who in heaven are robed in whites. Considering Bible translation in Africa, the translation of the Bible has enabled uneducated Christians like the founder of the cherubim and seraphim to resonate with the knowledge of God, the power of God, and the love of God. A simple narrative in the Gospels saying, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you," found in Matthew 7:7. This quotation has given the typical African believer the confidence that the word can come alive in the Christian who dares to give it a try. There have been enormous positive results accruing to the believer as he continues to grow stronger and stronger in faith and believe that with God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. This confidence prompted Prophet Moses Orimolade to go solo outside his Anglican church to promote the ministry of healing from place to place in Nigeria, until 1925, when the cherubim and seraphim came into being as a church. At the beginning of his itinerant healing ministry, Orimolade had no ambition to establish a church. His intention was to continue to minister deliverance to those that are in bondage. Of course, he tried this in his local church, in his local Anglican church. Some of the parishes will welcome him, some will drive him away. And the simple reason why he became an itinerant preacher. According to tradition, the first translation of the Bible took place in Africa. 70 Jewish translators had gathered in Alexandria in the 3rd century BC to translate the Hebrew Bible into Greek. This first translation, known as the Septuagint, named after its 70 Jewish translators, became the definitive Bible of the early church. Translations were made into the Coptic and Ethiopian languages very early in the history of the church. David Barrett has pointed out that it is impossible to overestimate the importance of the Bible in African society. Vast literacy campaigns are based on the translations through the Bible. Africans perceive that God was addressing them in the vernacular in which was enshrined the soul of their people. Africans have often been struck by the spiritual vitality they find in the vernacular scripture by comparison with the nominal religion pertinent in the historic churches. They saw God as the God of the living, the God of revival and new life, the God of miracles, the God of action, the God of power, the God of Exodus and of deliverance. So, one finds numerous bodies arising with such names as the Church of the Living God, found in Kenya, the Action Church of Ghana, Power of Jesus Around the World, also found in Kenya, the Holy Chapel of Miracles, in Lagos, Nigeria. These and many more have arisen out of the insights derived from the vernacular scripture. John Imbiti agrees with Barrett, who maintains that the AIC break with the mission churches has thrown them back even further onto the Bible in their search for legitimating and continuity with historic Christianity. From this point of view, therefore, the AIC across Africa has taken on the aspect of a drive to recover a more biblically based religion. He went further to assert that the AIC has perhaps a greater dynamism and vitality of creativity than mission Christianity. I would have expected such a comment to come from an AIC leader, but John Imbiti is an Anglican priest. Perhaps he is an honorary apostle of the AIC. In worship and theology, John Imbiti will be more at home with the Cherubim and Seraphim Church. Inculturation. The AIC did not emerge in a historical or social vacuum. The rise was conditioned by a number of factors, including spiritual, cultural, political, social, and economic. During the second part of the 20th century, faith healing and ministry grew significantly because the factors that gave rise to the demand for deliverance and healing had not receded. Elon Dovo argued that incarceration is one of the major factors. He defined it as a local process of making Christ and the gospel message of salvation known and understood by people of different cultures, localities, and time, using the resources of their culture to promote meaning, acceptance, and owning the gospel. He contends that incarceration in Africa strips the Christian faith of some of its missionary, that is Western, cultural context in exchange for African cultural idioms that make it relevant and ingrained in its new context. Elam's description means that Africa has now put a round peg in a round hole. Previously, it was a square peg in a round hole, which left gaps that required filling up. Incarceration is the means by which this gap can be filled in the African setting. Substitution of water and oil for herbs and medications is one of the key factors leading to the sustained growth of the AIC. In the African traditional belief, herbs prescribed by the herbalists have spiritual powers to effect deliverance and healing, or to provide a solution to problems. Similarly, the African believes that water, when sanctified by a prophet, has been charged with power by the Holy Spirit for the same or better results. This change in the substance of the water is similar to the medieval doctrine of transubstantiation, by which the bread and the wine are transformed at the level of unseen substance into the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist, while retaining their outward appearance.